Yeah, just want to talk quite briefly because we're nearly up on lunchtime. So I just want to get a bit of a sense of what we're looking at this weekend. So what are we looking at this weekend? Well, I guess what we're looking at, I suppose what we're looking at through this entire course really is this, looking at this capacity that we have to create. And looking at the interplay between intention and imagination. And looking at the power of the embodied image, really, and the fact that we as human beings are perpetually creating an image of ourselves and an image of the world. Subliminally all the time. You know, so and we have ever since our first becoming really been doing that. So what we do when we pay attention to the body, pay attention to image, pay attention to will, is we're really looking at the sort of the fundamental building blocks, in a sense, of our sense of self and our sense of world. And the access point to all of this, of course, is the body. Because the body is our vehicle, it's our bridge between the subjective and the objective. The body contains our history, contains all the subliminal images of ourself and the world that we have learned to live in. And the meditation this morning really began, of course, with the body, with looking at the extraordinary capacity that the body has to hold a difference, and also in a way the journey of the body from the single cell to the body that we now possess, that has gone through all these and is continually dying and creating itself. And the whole point, I think, about this capacity that we have to create and to sustain is that we create a sense of self and a sense of world that we can bear to live in. And when we monkey around with that, when we pay attention to it and look into just even asking the question, well, who am I and what am I doing here, and get interested in the possibilities of self-created change, we start, even as we just intend that, we start to affect a whole kind of system that has its own kind of integrity, its own balance and stability. That's why change is very hard. You know, it's why, you know, we can, you know, there are some moments in life when very dramatic things happen and we find ourselves changing, but always we have to sustain the change. So you have moments of flashes of intuition, flashes of enormous change, and many of those often get lost because to sustain change we have to reorganize our whole system. Because actually what we do, we have to enter into places of imbalance. So change always unbalances the system. And in order for just change to be sustained, we have to stay with it, deal with the chaos and whatever is disordered in that. But eventually come to a new point of balance that has a more possibility in it, more freedom in it. And it isn't difficult to get a new insight. It isn't difficult to see the world, but it is very difficult to follow the process through to find the new place to stand in, the new balance. And particularly when we have big things happening, when, you know, aging happens or something big changes, something big leaves our life, then there's a lot of assimilation that's needed. And because there's a lot in us that wants to recreate the old balance. You know, and as us, you know, work as therapists will know, that's why therapy takes a long time, because it's not that people don't have insights and people don't have capacity. It's the things change and then they become the same again. The old balance pulls people back into things. It's what, you know, it's why we see people recreating situations, why we recreate situations in our life, where we say, oh, I'm doing this again. Why am I doing this again? Do I really want to do this again? You know, so there's a whole kind of process, really, that we're sort of looking at that is this process. And one of the pivotal things, and this is the meditation, in a way, the meditation this morning, there was a whole set of practices, really, not just a meditation. So for sure it was, you know, a bit of hard work. You know, we begin by engaging with the body, engaging with the body's capacity to hold, to experience difference. We also open to the, through that, we open into the mysterious aspect of body, the creative aspect of the body field. We also start to look at the energetic aspect of our body, the energy field, the and things like the Kabbalistic cross are designed to connect things and create a sort of intention and an image of dynamic balance within the energetic field of the body. The middle pillar and the fountain exercise that we did is designed to generate change within the body. Right, so it's a linking up of energies and creating flow within the field. So in a sense, if you like, the intention of that first, so we first enter into the field of body and get a sense of where we are. We then have this energetic exercise called the Kabbalistic cross that creates a field of balance, and then we create an energetic sense of flow.
How did we do that?
The middle pillar, the exercise, the fountain exercise, right? So you feel these different spheres down the center of the body, and then we're bringing energy up the body, breathing it, and then creating this fountain experience.
We did.
Doesn't matter. We're gonna do it again. Doesn't matter. We're gonna do it again, right? We're gonna do it after lunch. We're gonna come back to these exercises a number of times, right? So, because and then the third thing that happens is having created a sense of, if you like, an intention of balance, created an energy of flow, we then start to look at the image of ourselves. So this sense of then this being with the mysterious aspect of body, and then in the meditation, what I asked you to look at with the sense of stepping forward clothed in a particular way. So clothed first of all in green, which represents the energy of power and life energy and greenness. Then the next image that becomes is then being clothed in blue and having clarity and balance and thought. So if you like, the one's all about emotion and energy. Then we balance that with thought and thinking and the creative aspect of mind. And then both those are held, and this third image of the kind of the red or purple robe of devotion of love. Right, so I know you haven't done it, Paulie. We're going to do it after lunch, so meditation.
Okay.
But we'll be doing it after lunch, so you'll have a chance to experience it. Right, so I'm just trying to explain what we did. But what that does then is to create a sort of transitional image. It's obviously to a certain extent an artifact. We're creating an image of ourselves. But that image of ourselves, so we create an image of ourselves connected to the green life energy of the earth, connected to the creative aspect of mind, and linked to a sense of devotion and love. So in a sense, that seed image, then it's like we just put that seed image into the pool of our own subjectivity. That then works on the actual subliminal image that we have of ourselves. And we're going to look at working with this kind of image of ourselves this weekend, of the sense of being able to create our sense of self, recreate our sense of self, and use that image to look at and experience our sense of the world. So what we're doing in that is taking something that's a subliminal process and making it conscious and bringing it under our conscious kind of making it a conscious practice, so as to sort of to monkey about, to interfere with our subliminal image. And thereby to bring it to bring something out of unconscious reactivity into conscious choice.
Are you saying the subliminal image of ourselves comes into relationship with the created.
Yes, image. Totally. That's right. Because as we step into that feeling of ourselves, as a, so if we take the image, for example, if we just take the image of my, if I take the image of myself as connected to the green life of the earth, connected to the creative aspect of mind, created to the capacity of a loving heart. So as I feel into that and be that, and I can, as I kind of feel that, I also start to feel all the resistances and twists of that, the parts of me that are not loving, the parts of me that think I'm stupid, the parts of me that think I'm weak, right? So you start to create a sort of a gestalt almost between that positive and creative image and the images of myself that think I blow things all the time and I'm cold and I'm weak and all of that, and you know, so there's a sort of, so that and it's almost that dialogue between these two places that starts to reconfigure the subliminal image.
Can I do a little example for me?
Yeah.
It's like when we did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I noticed I got a lot of feeling coming up about the rottenness of this, a lot of criticality.
Yeah, totally. That's it.
Yeah,
that's absolutely right.
So that's right.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Right? So that's exactly what happens. So as we do these exercises, as we kind of, so I did it wrong, I'm not very good, I can't feel power, or it's very scary to feel power. There's all kinds of reactivity that arises from the stabilized image of ourselves. Right, so as we change things, we bring up resistance. Now we know this as a therapist. As you bring a new energy in, it's because you start to unbalance the whole, and those thoughts are trying to recreate the old balance, right? That's the intentionality. So stop doing this, it's scaring something, it's shaking something up. Right, because that's the intentionality of you're rotten at this, stop doing it, right? That's close it down, stay as you are. Right, that's always what happens.
People who are like the reinventors, so they suddenly say, right, I'm never going to do that again, so now my whole world is this.
That never works.
So it's not the complete shift of behavior, also doesn't work.
No, totally, and it's an organic process, right? Yeah. That's the whole thing. So little by little, so these, you know, so you know, it would be very surprising if somebody from doing a meditation with this just suddenly became a new person. Mm-hmm. It would be very suspicious if that happened, actually, because it would mean, it would suggest to me dissociation and splitting, because actually,
Unless they have a complete spiritual awakening,
that can happen, and that's rare. Yeah. But that's, and then when that happens, something then fundamentally reorganizes things underneath, and that can happen. But of course, that is quite rare. Yeah. We need to remember very shocking. That's right. Yes, and certainly when that does happen, people's sense of self is often massively reorganized and shocked. So when people are saying, I am a new person, that isn't the sort of thing that would happen if you had a big spiritual awakening. You don't know where the hell you are in that place. And the sense of self takes time to return after that. So that's it in a kind of nutshell. We're going to do that meditation again this after lunch. Andy?
It's like, rather like the bridge, but in a different...
Yeah, it is a bridge, totally, that's right. It's a bridging image that we're kind of using. And these practices are bridging practices that really help us to get into it a bit more.
Could you just say, you know when we did the Kabbalistic cross?
Yeah.
Can you just say the names again?
Yeah, sure.
I can write those down.
Yeah, so the first one is called Ate, it's A-T-E-H. At Ate. So if you're doing it, phonetically, it would be A-R-T-A-Y. I'll do it phonetically. That's A-R-T-A-Y. Ate. It just in Hebrew, it means thou. So it represents, it's that aspiration to the kind of deepest part of ourselves.
So it's kind of
it's above the head. It's a sort of, so you're putting your hand on the forehead because you're kind of touching, because you're making contact with the body and you're touching the highest part of your head, but you'd visualize this sphere of brilliant white light or something at the top, or something that represents the highest in you. Then you bring your hand down to the solar plexus, your hand's pointing downwards. You bring your attention right down into the ground, into the most formed, and there the phrase is Malkut. A-M-A-L-K-O-O-T, Malkut. M-A-L-K-O-O-T, Malkut.
What coffin? It's
M, it's all right, lovely. M-A-L-K-O-O-T. Hang on, M-A-L-K, Malk, double O...
T.
T, thank you. I can't remember. I'm losing my capacity to spell. Malkut.
The tree of life, isn't it?
Malkut. It is. It's the kingdom, right? So it's the kingdom. It's the kingdom and the tree of life. It's the body. It's the world. So we're bringing the in a way, Ate represents Keta on the tree of life, right? So so you bring the light right down into matter. Then they. Yes, a sort of a dark green kind of earth kind of colour. So it's a so you're coming from, if you like, white unconditioned light down into matter, into sort of green-black kind of solidity. Then the right shoulder then is a sphere of red light. And it's Ve Gevura, which is, it's a V-E, Ve. Oy vey, oy vey, that's great. yeah, vey is V-E-Y, vey. Gevura is G-E-V, V-O-O-R-A-H. It's the tree of life, that's the G-E-V, Gev. You are. Or double O-R, I'm trying to do it phonetically, G-E-V-O-O-R-A-H, Gevura. Gevura.
The V-A-Y, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. V-A-Y, Ve Gevura.
What does that mean?
It means the strength or the clarity.
Strength.
Or clarity.
And what colour is that red?
That's red.
And that's love as well, then.
Hmm? No, love is the other side. So you go then to the left shoulder, Ve again, Gedula, G-E-D, W-O-L-A-H, G-E-D, W-O-L-A-H, Gedula. Gedula, this means the love. So it's bringing together strength and love, or clarity and love. That's it as a blue light. Blue.
Sorry, I thought you said red was love and
energy. No, red is strength. Okay. This is something else. that was in the image. The red, that was the purple robe that was about love. This is a different exercise.
Shade of red.
Different exercise. Just different exercise. So let's just... They're the spheres of the tree of life. These are the spheres of the tree of life. They're here. They're here. They're sort of... clarity and growth, or love and will, right? So they're these. So basically what we're doing, let me just show you in the tree of life, you're tracing Keter down to Malkut.
Oh, right.
You're bringing together Gebura and Gedula there. So you create, and then you come to the center point in Tiferet, right, the balance point. And that is Le, Le Olam, O-L-A-M, Olam.
Sorry, could you say that again?
Le, yes. Olam. Le Olam. So L-E-Lay or L-E-Y, I suppose it, Lay. L-E-Y and then Olam, O-L-A-M. Le Olam and then Amen. Amen being the word of just kind of let it be so.
That's the center point.
That's the center point. So that's... Le'olam is everything. It means the everything. Amen. Right. So bringing a sense of balance into everything. Olam means world. It means coming into the world. Amen. Let it be so.
And the color there.
Color there is golden lights. Pretty much a sense of the golden sphere of Tiferet, the heart sphere.
Thank you.
Good. Really good. We'll come back to it. We're going to do it all after. We're going to do it all again after lunch. Right. So let's. Center point is the heart, right? So that's sort of between the left and the right, and between up and down, right? So the intention of that exercise is to link the opposites together and to create a field of balance. And we'll come back. Let's have a break for lunch now because we need to have a lunch, and I'll talk through this stuff again in the afternoon, and we'll do the meditation again when we come back after lunch. So it's 2:15 now, so let's come back at 2:15.
Thank you.